back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Hour three, and let's begin with Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John.
Well, hello there. Let me first congratulate Tom. My son John went and saw Cody play yesterday and said that he really plays very well, that he's a very good player. So, Tom, congratulations
well, thank
on that.
You. Congratulations, well, thank you. Tina.
Yeah, yeah, that's where he got his speed and athleticism from his mama, well, not from me, but I appreciate that.
I thought it was just his looks, Tom, so now it's all the way around. Well, listen, but be a proud father. be a proud father. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, they that was a good win for them. I tell you what, it's a whole different perspective coming off a loss in the season opener versus winning last night, so that they're all happy with their DL.
John, I don't know what it is about the first night of high school football, but last night, it was just perfect. I mean, between the weather and everyone with a fresh start.
Yep.
And, you know, I feel so bad for, well, let me say it, for Perry, for Eaton Rapids, for the programs that every year are up against it. And, you know, Perry was so close last night.
Oh, really?
Two touchdowns called back. They lose 16-14.
Ouch.
You know, but schools like that and they really have tough sledding every single year. But the fans last night were so into it. It was exactly what you'd want to take a snapshot of high school football.
Right, right.
It's wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean, you really, that is what high school football is. It's communities. It's people.
Yeah.
It's where everybody, that's really, it's grassroots football is what it really is.
And, you know, Grand Ledge had that big win last night, and they have that motto, Tom. We talked about it. I mean, we helped coin it. You don't play the team, you play the town.
Yeah, yeah. That uniform, Grand Ledge. And that works for them because I know a lot. You know, there's teams that when they see that uniform, they know that they're playing against a pretty deep program, a lot of talent, and the youth program is huge, and it's kind of a Texas style football in Grand Ledge where everybody comes out just like John was talking about.
I want to talk about youth football for a second. Let's talk about the Michigan Wolverines. John, you were on top of this, and you pointed things out that I hadn't even thought of. Throughout the course of all this realignment discussion, John is very involved with how the Big Ten is going to look. And you talk about the Michigan-Ohio State game, what it might mean down the road, and who stands to lose. And you talk about Oklahoma-Nebraska football and some parallels there, too.
Well, I this may sound funny, but I think my son John, my son-in-law Tony, and me, we're the only three that I'm aware of that have really talked about consistently from the beginning the impact that the Big 12 had on the Oklahoma-Nebraska game, which, if you remember, every year was a colossus.
Sure.
I mean, it was a giant, giant game. And when we go to the Big 10 realignment and you go to the championship game, it has to detract from the final games. Now, the way I've looked at it, putting Michigan and Ohio State in separate divisions, you can do that, but I'm not quite sure that playing twice a year would be better than just having the one game at the end of the year, because there's a giant assumption. There's kind of an assumption that Michigan and Ohio State are going to win their divisions all the time. And I think 1970s football has really changed. And the one advantage Ohio State has over everybody is if they have the right coach, they've got 50 Division I players a year they can draw on, which none of the rest of us can, you know, in the Big Ten. Now, I do have a thought, though, which Tom and some Michigan fans probably would disagree with, particularly after hearing the 1050 boys yesterday. For what, if you look at it, that Ohio State-Michigan game, that is nationally a huge game,
mm-hmm.
and it certainly is in Ohio, but it would be a natural at the end of the year to have a Michigan-Michigan State game, which would be 100% state involvement, because if you're a Michigan State fan, you really don't care much about that game, which is half the state, or you're rooting for Ohio State. So if you want to just look at it from a straight rivalry, which mm-hmm. if what the ESPN person said yesterday, you could get a natural Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska.
I can't imagine Penn
Illinois.
State, Ohio State as the last game of the year.
No, you know, I'm alone in this one, John. I mean, just because the Michigan-Michigan State game, for me, is so personal, that I could handle it being the last game of the year, because I think the buildup around here of, you know, then we're assuming, though, that both teams are on a roll and that it's going to be a relevant game.
Right.
The thing of it is, when it sits here in October, you talk about 1999, you talked about some other years in there, they've been undefeated or both in the top 15, and that might not happen. There's been some tremendous buildup on that game. I kind of go back and forth either way, but as long as you have Michigan, Michigan State, or Michigan, Ohio State, I could actually tolerate both of them. Now, not all Michigan fans would be on page with me, because they all look down on Michigan State. I do not, because that rivalry means more to me than Michigan, Ohio State.
But, John, I think you've really nailed it here, and I don't even know if you knew how insightful this comparison was. Oklahoma and Nebraska used to play Thanksgiving or that weekend.
And that thing has faded away.
It's gone. First of all, they're in different divisions in the Big 12. All right, now Michigan, Ohio State, they're going to make that mistake.
Right.
Then they move the time of the game. They move it into October.
Yes.
Michigan, Ohio State, going to make that mistake.
Exactly.
Then one of the team goes up and one of the teams goes down.
See,
hello,
it's
Oklahoma
gone.
And Nebraska, that used to be one of the days you circled on your calendar. I can still see Greg Pruitt and Jeff Kinney and Johnny Rogers.
It was on
and those
Thanksgiving,
guys,
it was on Friday. It was that weekend, and they didn't even have to be both undefeated. You knew that was going to be a great something that you always different era though, different era than we're in right now.
Be careful what you wish for; you just might get it. Michigan, Ohio State.
I still think for Michigan, and Tom says I tend to look at the gloom side for Michigan, which I probably do.
Well, you
Michigan
absolutely
State
do. Fan. That's all right.
But I do really believe, I'll put a butt there, that I think Ohio State and Michigan would be best to keep that game at the end of the year as kind of a, we'll call it a memorial for Woody and for Bo. Because I think once you move it around, it's what Jack just said, once you assume they're going to be good, and I personally think Michigan's in at least 3-4 years getting back to where it was, even if they win 7, 8, 9 games this year. And then you've got Iowa, you've got Wisconsin perch with that I formation just to jam it down, the spread formations in November. I just think it's going to be tough, and it's best to keep that game where it is. However, I do really understand the logic of Delaney in a new world, if it be true that he is setting up state rivalry, setting things up a little differently, figuring that it could make the championship better by doing it this way. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
It's
one thing I've
risk.
Learned about Delaney, I often have been critical in my own mind of what he's doing, but he does seem to know what he's doing. I must say he earns his $1.4 million. He's pretty good.
John, I have to ask you one other question here, and this has to do with a Lions superfan who walked from Munising in the Upper Peninsula, the only guy who cares about the Lions more than John Braccio. Joe Paquette took him 18 days to go down. 18 days, that's more wins than the Lions have had in the last 5 years. And he walks from the UP to the Lions training camp. Jim Schwartz resisted the temptation to sign this guy on the spot. He's 63 years old. But he went to the doctor before he started this. And, you know, he's got arthritic hip. He's got all these things. So he's trying to get his joints loosened up. And the doctor says, you're in the wrong place. You don't need to see me. You need to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, what drives somebody to do that? Let's break that down psychologically here. I mean, is this guy wants attention, or is he just passionate? He's demonstrating his passion that way. Where's he coming from here, John?
Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. I believe that people, day-to-day, have a lot of drudgery, okay? They lead a life, and most people, they work, they go to work, they do things that they have to do. They have good time with family, of course, but a lot of life is just day-to-day, looking to a vision, looking to a game, looking to something. And I think in this case, this is a person who really is excited in his mind the idea of the Detroit Lions. Now, a lot of people could think he's crazy, and probably most people would think he's at least a little wacky, but this is obviously something that he wanted to do. It was important. It put something in his life that allowed him to do something. It gave him a little positive or negative notoriety, depending on how you want to look at it. So I would say it's a, maybe you could call it a little wacky. On the other hand, good for him. You know, he might just be sitting all day watching television, snoozing and going off at 10 o'clock at night, and then getting up and going to work or doing something. So I think he just felt like doing it. It's a little out of the norm, but maybe we all ought to do some time. Maybe not climb mountains in the winter, but definitely I'll give him credit for just saying, hey, he wanted to do it. He did it, and congratulations. On the other hand, for most everyone else, that'd be a little wacky. But what about going on football games on Saturday, paying premium for seats, and sitting there and cheering on college students that we'll never know most right. likely in our whole lives? That's kind of a wacky thing, too, unless you really like college football or high school football like we do.
Well, that's an interesting idea, Tom. We'll have to get back and talk about that at some point, because we do tend to project ourselves onto 18 and 19-year-olds.
Well, it's that vicarious thing. I mean, and it happens all over. I mean, you see it at the NFL. You know, I tell you where you see it. You see it in NASCAR is where you see it. I mean,
well, you see it everywhere.
I mean, it's amazing, you know, with the identity of one person
yeah.
that they'll never meet.
Right.
And they got the number, and, you know, they live and die with it. It's crazy. But you know what? If it's a diversion, if people can keep it in perspective, it's a great outlet. I think it's all good, and it's a lot of fun. And what else would we be doing? You know what I mean?
John, we should note that we offered Tom the chance to walk to Ann Arbor for the UConn-Michigan game. And since it's a 3:30 game, we thought we'd give him an early start. You could get that done, maybe start right after the East Lansing game on Thursday.
Ain't going to happen,
brother. You could get there in plenty of time. You could just kind of camp out around Brighton, and you'd be there on Saturday in plenty of time. You don't tailgate anyway. It doesn't matter. You'd be at the stadium, and it would be perfect.
I'd be there in time for the victor's walk.
There you go.
Rich Rod brings him down.
He's only got a few of those left, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, really.
Hey, John, thanks so much. Appreciate it, as always, and great job analyzing the Big Ten realignment.
Listen, great pleasure talking to you guys always. Have a great day.
Okay, John, take care.
We will be back with much, much more. Some open line, 393-3700, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.